At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome or welcome back to The Creation of Her, the side of the internet where I help you close the gap between who you are now and the woman you were always meant to be. I mentor you on all areas of life, from productivity to feminine energy to finances. And for this week's episode, we have an amazing guest who I'll introduce in a second, but I can't contain my excitement because I'm positive you guys are going to receive so much valuable information and breakthroughs from this episode alone. So today's guest is someone who brings soul, strategy, and serious insight to the world of entrepreneurship. Meet Sophie Ash. She is an intuitive business coach, communications expert, and freedom lifestyle advocate who's been featured on ABC and Fox. Sophie's work is all about helping high achievers like you and me heal from burnout, build self-trust, and create businesses that align with their values, not just their hustle. From trauma recovery to digital nomadism, she brings a grounded, emotionally intelligent approach to leadership and personal growth. So I'm so excited to dive into her story, her wisdom, and the mindset shifts that have helped her and so many others go from surviving to truly thriving. Hi, Sophie. How are you?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Mia.
Of course. I'm so excited.
Yes, me too. I've got, like, I'm an open book. Just ask me anything. I'm more than happy to share my story or any advice I can give your listeners.
Of course. I mean, I don't want to hold anyone any longer from your amazing insights. And we've talked to it before, so I know there's just so much to unfold. So let's just jump into the action. You have told me that you had two big turning points in your career that led you to where you are today. Can you describe them to us and what each phase taught you about yourself and your path?
I can, yeah. So the first one was in 2016. I actually moved from England, the UK, to Canada, Toronto, which is where I currently am. This was a really big turning point because, first of all, I had to give up my entire life. I had to leave my job. I had to sell all my stuff. I had to give up my apartment. I didn't really have anything. I just had two suitcases of stuff, and that was it. And I had never been to Toronto before, so I had no idea what to expect. I just kind of blindly followed my partner at the time, and I trusted that this is where I was meant to be. And really, the only thing I was thinking at the time was, if you don't do it, you'll probably regret it, because I know there's a lot of people who have the opportunity to emigrate or move abroad, and they don't do it. And then they look back and they're like, oh, what would my life have been like? So I didn't really have any expectations, but I think that's kind of the best way to go into something like that. But what I did do is I decided to reinvent myself. I decided that when I showed up in Toronto, I was going to be the person that I always wanted to be. I was going to start a business. I was going to network. I was going to make friends who I genuinely liked, because at that time I kind of had these like meh kind of friends who I didn't really feel were my people. And yeah, I actually did a little drawing of what my future self was going to look like what my life would look like. And I actually discovered it like years later. And I was like, oh my gosh, I did almost every single thing of these things. Like, it literally looked exactly like my life. So I think it was a great opportunity to visualize and kind of start with a blank slate, because a lot of people don't realize that they can reinvent themselves at any time. So that was the biggest lesson I learned. And I feel like there's been some smaller versions of that over the years, kind of deciding that my life is different now. I'm evolving into a new version of me. So that was the first one. And then, and that's definitely something that I've passed on to my students in working with them as a coach. The second one was a lot of ways, much, much harder than the first. And that was the point at which I separated from my 8-year relationship and decided to kind of go out on my own in Canada. And at that time, I had no real income. I had I think, two or three businesses at that time, and none of them had really taken off. I was like, what the hell am I going to do? And also, I was so codependent on my partner that I relied on him for everything, not just money, but like confidence. And like even going to the grocery store, I needed him to come with me. I was so afraid of everything. I was so anxious about everything. I was pretty depressed. I didn't like myself very much. And yet I knew that my future was going to be better without him. It was a very strange thing. I think it was just when you have a strong intuition that there's something better for you out there, and you realize that somebody is kind of keeping you small, or they're like wrapping you up in cotton wool, and it's preventing you from actually spreading your wings and being the person who you want to be. So that was the second big shift, and it just taught me that I actually don't need anyone as much as I thought I did. It took a long time to build that trust and that confidence in myself, but it's been an extremely worthwhile thing to do. And again, I think not many people put themselves deliberately in that situation where they're on their own and they have to figure stuff out. And of course, you
Right.
can have coaches and mentors and friends and whatnot, but it's never really gonna take the fear out of, like, I think just getting rid of that safety net 100%, sometimes we need that to grow.
And just as a background, you guys, her and I had spoke before, and I was like, wow, I totally relate to both of those shifts, because we quite literally line up. I had those two big shifts recently as well. My viewers will know that I've moved a lot, but recently I moved from London to Madrid. And then what I don't share a lot is like getting out of a relationship, which was like kind of a similar dependency. And it definitely has had big shifts that are still unfolding. However, you talk about how your move from the UK to Canada shaped your healing and your growth journey and all of that. And in my life coaching course now, I'm learning about how, for example, it's so easy to build new habits when you go to a new place, or even when you go on vacation, because you're not having the same old cues and you're building new cues. You just have kind of almost a blank slate, we would put it. However, not everyone has the opportunity like us, where we are in a situation where we're able to move abroad, or it just happens that our life is lining up that way. So how would you guide someone if that's not an option for them, but they want a shift that's just as big, if that makes sense?
Well, I did have another pretty big turning point, not as big as those, but so just after I had separated from my 8-year relationship and I was trying to get my business off the ground, I had taken a full-time job as a nanny and housekeeper just to pay my rent. And so getting my first place by myself, it was just a tiny studio downtown, and it took like all of my salary. Like, I could not afford to do anything other than just pay my rent and eat. Like, it was crazy. I remember having to budget for literally everything and keep track of like how many times I was going to use the subway because it was going to get too expensive. And then I couldn't go anywhere, I couldn't do anything. And so I really did feel trapped in that situation, because on the one hand, I was like, well, isn't this an improvement on what I had when I was dependent on this other person? Like, at least I can pay my way, at least I can support myself. But on the inside, I was like, this sucks. This is horrible. And I cannot stay in this situation. But I couldn't see a way out because I was trapped in this cycle of having to pay for my life and then having to work this job to pay for my life. And I couldn't get my business to do anything because I could only work on it like a couple of hours a day. And I was really sleep deprived and everything. And I think the first thing that has to happen is you have to decide that change is going to happen, and you just don't know how yet. You have to let that be the truth. You have to truly believe that, even if you don't see the way out, there is a way, you just haven't seen it yet. And I had that strong mentality that this is not the life I'm supposed to have. There's something better for me, and I trusted that. And what I did was, on the subway every day to work, I would do some journaling about how I was feeling and whether I was feeling aligned in the actions I was taking in my life or not, and how I could improve on that and feel like I was moving towards something instead of just staying stuck. Because even though my circumstances were not changing yet, my mindset was changing and my belief in myself was changing. And I was making plans, I was strategizing, I was dreaming, I was allowing myself to create a new reality for myself. So I did that every day on the subway. And then while I was cleaning the house and like taking the garbage out and cooking and stuff like that, I would be doing informational interviews with people in interesting careers that I thought maybe I could do. And I knew I wanted to have a successful business. I just hadn't had any success yet. So I talked to people who are doing things that interested me, and I realized that I could actually do that sooner than I thought. I didn't have to go back to school. I didn't have to fully reinvent myself again. I could just kind of brand myself in a way that aligned with those things. And then on the subway home, I would re-listen to the calls because I would record them all, and I would write all my notes out, and I would study everything that they said and take on board all the feedback and all the advice. And I would just keep doing that over and over again. So every time I had this kind of time at work when I was doing boring things, I would be listening to podcasts, I would be calling these people, I would be thinking about how could I get out, what could I do? And because it was all encompassing and I believed that it was going to happen, I found a way. And the way for me was I had started dating again, and I'd only been seeing this guy for about 4 months, but he knew how unhappy I was, and he lived in the middle of nowhere with his grandparents and his mom. And he was like, just quit and move in with me. And I was like, what? And I was absolutely terrified because I had hardly even been with this guy. But I was like, I could give up my studio. I could just live with them. I could, I could quit my job. I could do my business. And he was like, yeah, stay as long as you want. And I was like, well, maybe for up to a year, I could do that. Maybe I could allow myself some breathing space, some time to recalibrate, to recover, because I was so burned out and so miserable. I didn't even know who I was anymore. And that's how I ended up doing it. And within just 6 months of living there, I mean, my business had exploded because I knew why I was there. I had a purpose, and I'd been waiting for that moment to truly shine. So I think in some ways it's better when you have experienced that struggle and you haven't been able to find that way out, because then when you do, you take that opportunity and you run with it and you get everything you need from it, and it doesn't even take that long. It feels like a very big thing, but you're looking for it and you're ready for it, so you can take it.
Right. I think that definitely, I mean, we hear it a lot. Even, for example, let's say Think and Grow Rich, they say that the bit from out of the biggest adversities will come the biggest riches, et cetera. But it's not necessarily to make this limiting belief that you need to have a deep, deep struggle or something chaotic to happen in order for you to be successful. At least for what I'm getting from you, correct me if I'm wrong, is knowing full heartedly that there is a way that you just haven't seen, because there has to be a way. Like, if you can think of something, you want something, there has to be a way, knowing that change is inevitable. And I think there's so much power in simply just deciding. Like, when you really want something and you know you're capable, even if you don't know you're capable, but you can just force yourself to believe it and just decide. It just takes one moment. You don't necessarily need to make chaos in your life unless it unfolds that way. And then from there, just completely diving into it and the repetition. Like, for me, that's something I teach a lot, because I've learned recently how powerful repetition is truly. Even I'll read the same books over and over again. And just what you were talking about, in the bus or wherever it was, and just cleaning around your house, just the repetition of everything is so powerful, because that's how it gets into your subconscious mind. So that's amazing. But I wanted to ask you, because I know that a lot of my listeners are definitely struggling with what we're about to talk about, but what would you say are some of the earliest signs of burnout or work addiction that most people overlook?
Yeah, so I struggled with burnout and work addiction for years and years and years. And on the surface, it just looks like you're being successful. It looks like you have a good career or a thriving business or a busy life. And that's because you create this aesthetic that's how it is. You create this narrative and this story that's what it is. But inside, it can feel very different. It can feel like an entrapment, like you can't actually stop, and it terrifies you to stop. Now, I knew where my work addiction had come from. So I think the first step is always to figure out At what point in my life did work become a coping mechanism for me? When did work become something that distracted me from what was going on around me? All the fear, all the stress, all the anxiety, all the toxicity or whatever it may be. And that happened for me in my teenage years in particular, because my whole family situation was toxic and awful. And the only thing I could do was focus on my studies to take my mind off of all the crazy stuff, all the overwhelming emotions that I had, and to focus on getting into university so I could move away. But I carried that sentiment with me way into my adult life, like way into my early 30s. And I, even though I knew where it had come from, I didn't know how to resolve it. And coaching has been a huge advantage to me, and one of the reasons why I like to give back to people in similar situations, because first of all, you need to be able to unpack all of that. You need to understand how the brain actually works and how it stores these traumatic memories and how it learns that it's safer to just work all the time. And I'm not saying that that's kind of what everybody experiences. I think there's other reasons why people work a lot, like they're trying to prove themselves to people, they don't feel good enough, and all of those things were true for me as well, because my parents had been so hard on me growing up, and I was the eldest child, and I had to set a good example for my siblings. And so it starts by unpacking all of that, but I think, on the surface, it just doesn't look like anything that bad is going on because you can cover it up really well. It's just like any addiction, really. People who smoke a lot, people who drink a lot, people who take drugs, they don't want people to know that it's a problem. They don't even want to admit to themselves that it's a problem. So even if people bring it up to them and say, this doesn't seem healthy or this doesn't seem right, they always have an excuse ready. They always have a reason. Oh, it's just this project and it's really busy right now. And then once that's over, I'll be able to rest. And then there's another thing, another thing, another thing, because you're creating this chaos for yourself to operate in because it feels more safe. And it really doesn't make sense to people who don't understand trauma responses, but it does make sense to coaches and people who have studied NLP, or which is neuro-linguistic programming, or like how we can reframe or like rewire our brains around these things. So part of it is just the education that this is a thing that happens when you're in traumatic situations, and this is also a thing that you can change. And the other part is actually wanting it to change, because if you just deny it for the rest of your life, then that's what the rest of your life is going to look and feel like.
Right. And oh, it's crazy because you can be in it for years or forever and not even know that you have trapped yourself in a maze. Like, I know, I mean, I definitely find when people, I appreciate you being vulnerable, like when you discovered that it started for you. And I feel like I should share as well, because I have the same problem. And it was like, if the thought of my to-do list being empty because I wiped everything out, it was just, I could not think of that. And even the thought of that was just simply not relaxing at all. And I think even now I'm still working on that, but nearly not as bad as it was. And the reason I think that I was able to start being aware of it and healing and questioning was finding the root cause, or finding just where it started, which I feel like people need to be really honest with themselves, me at least, just to share it, so I can encourage people to also think for themselves. At least I believe it started when I was like a senior, junior, senior in high school, and my mom had been diagnosed with cancer. She's healthy now, thank God. But I really wanted to go out of state for college. It was always my dream. And my parents were like, well, you're not going out of state if you don't get a full scholarship. And I'm like, okay, I have to buckle up, get a full scholarship. But then I was like, wait, but they need to take care of my mom and her medical bills and this and that. And I can't ask them for money if I go out of state and whatever. So I was like, well, I'm turning 18, like it's all up to me now. And I remember telling myself all the time, like, it's all up to me, it's all up to me. Like, both my parents are dealing with their medical things, like I have to just figure it out. And then now they're both healthy and we're all fine, but I would keep the trauma response and the chaos and the never-ending to-do list. And then I got my own health issues, and that's when I was like, okay, what's going on? And when I just started getting like three priorities a day, now I'm like totally healthy. I don't have any gut problems. I don't have anything. So like, things are so much deeper than people even imagine, and it's so important to like uncover that.
Yeah, and I had so many digestive issues as well, and I wasn't sleeping, and I had terrible acne like everywhere. Like, I couldn't go out without tons and tons of makeup. I truly hated myself. I gained a lot of weight because the other part of it is that we carry all this shame around with us about how we dealt with things in the past, when we actually didn't really have a choice. Like at that time, we were just doing the best that we could with what we had, and we really did feel all that responsibility and all that pressure. So it's learning to accept that the previous version of us, like the younger version of us, just did what they could with a really shitty situation. And then when we can have compassion with ourselves, our past selves, then we can treat our present self with more respect and more love and more care. And it, you can't really skip over that, because if you just force yourself to do the self-care, it just feels stressful and not
Feels
good.
like another task. It just feels like another thing on the to-do list. Yeah.
It is another task, yeah, because then you're guilty if you don't do it right or often enough, and then you get all this judgment, mostly from yourself, but also from other people. Like, well, didn't you say you were going to do that? Oh, yeah, like now I have a new thing that I'm going to do. And you feed this guilt cycle and you can't break out of it because you haven't looked at the past and honored your past self.
Right. And so I'm assuming that would be step one, but just to paint the picture for everyone, you talk about healing your relationship with work, and I want to understand, what does that process look like in real life?
Yeah. Well, so I work with a lot of people who are breaking out of a full-time role or a career path that just does not work for them anymore. Maybe it never did work for them, but they just kind of found themselves there because this was the path that they were shown. And also people who have started businesses and then recreated these toxic environments and these burnout cycles for themselves. So, yeah, the first thing is that you have to kind of assess these moments of shame or guilt or feelings of, I don't like the way that I dealt with that, or I should have handled that better, or I should have done this, or I should have said that, or I should have left sooner, or I shouldn't have left so soon. Like we carry all this shame and guilt around with us about how we personally attribute ourselves to different situations that we were in at work, even if it was never our fault to begin with, even if it was just like a toxic manager or a colleague giving us shit or like whatever it was, we tend to blame ourselves. And then even if it's just small things, they build up over a long period of time. 'Cause I mean, people could be in their career for decades before they decide this is enough. And you've got to look at it all. You've got to unpack it all. You've got to find that compassion. You've got to have that understanding and almost like relive those moments so that you can truly see them with new eyes and admit to yourself that you really didn't do anything wrong. And if we can't let go of all of that and actually process it fully, then it's just going to be like, I like to think of it as like you're carrying this giant backpack around with you and all this shame and guilt just crammed into it. And you're trying to like live your normal life, but you're carrying this thing. And as soon as you can put it down, everything's easy. You're free. You can just live your life. But people don't even realize that they're carrying it because they don't want to look in there. They don't want to deal with it. They just push it down. And just like if you have a garbage bag and you're just shoving down the garbage because you don't want to take out the trash, like it's going to be stinky and overflowing. And there's, it's going to get worse over time. And then when you finally do come to look at it, it's going to be like, a huge undertaking. But there's never a wrong time to do it. Like, I think, yes, it does get harder over time, but the reward is then so much bigger because the relief when you put it down is so much bigger. So there's really no right or wrong time to take a look at it all. But this is where having a coach, a therapist, somebody who can really understand all of that and help you understand it differently is so important because we can't really do that by ourselves. At least we have to learn how to do it by ourselves, which takes time, which we need support and training with.
Right. Can you explain what emotional safety means in the context of entrepreneurship and why it's so critical?
Yes. So I would say emotional safety is this feeling that you're kind of holding yourself, like you're You're protecting yourself, you're giving yourself what you need to be okay and to thrive. And you're almost creating like a protective barrier between yourself and your self-worth and what everybody else is saying and doing and thinking around you. It takes a long time to build that, especially when you have these people-pleasing tendencies that come from your childhood or come from these traumatic situations that you've had. But it's really the best thing any entrepreneur can do is to build that trust and confidence within themselves and to know that if they end up in a shitty situation, they will knock it on its head. Like they will turn things around because that's what they do. So when we think about building trust with ourselves and building safety within ourselves, it's just like flexing a muscle. Like the more times you do it and the more times you observe that you're doing it and you recognize that you're doing it, that the more it becomes a normal thing that you do and the easier it becomes. And you could be practicing this for decades, for the whole rest of your life before it even becomes something that you just inherently do. But it does become easier over time. And I think it's the most important practice that anybody can have. One of the things I do with my students is we have a little wins area where they can celebrate their wins. And it can be anything, like small things, big things. And I do it too because I'm also practicing it. So even just yesterday, I recolor coded my whole calendar and I was like, look, this is a win for me. It feels fun. It feels good, like to look at my schedule and not be intimidated by anything and to know to learn how much stuff is a good amount of stuff where it doesn't feel overwhelming, but it feels exciting. And there's not nothing there. So you're not like, what am I going to do? But there's just like a good amount of stuff there. Like that's very individual, and no one can tell you what that has to be. You have to create that for yourself. So I think the emotional safety is just knowing that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay.
Right. And also, it definitely feels unsafe to tie your self-worth to your work and your productivity and your results. So, how do we untangle our self-worth from our productivity or results in business? I mean, especially as like a creator, anything involving numbers, which is business, it's so easy to tie yourself to that high number or low number, whatever it is that you're in. Or even like, can you give us just an actionable step that we can do today to help inch us towards like untangling ourselves with those two?
Yeah. I think the finance part we can keep separate and then we can look at the other parts too, because they are quite different, even though it's the same type of approach. So with the finance side, you've got to be able to zoom out enough to look at the patterns or the whole, not just like day to day, week to week, month to month. It's going to fluctuate a lot. That's just what entrepreneurship is. You can't expect it to be stable. That's crazy. Like you literally cannot expect that. Nobody should be expecting that. You can definitely work towards a model that has more monthly recurring revenue and things like that if you want to, but you've got to at least minimum quarterly when you look at your finances, if not every 6 months or every year. You cannot be analyzing yourself financially while you're actually trying to build your business. It's just not fair to do that. And then the other part of it is that a lot of people become an entrepreneur because money actually isn't that important to them. They value other things a lot more than money. They might want money, but they realize it's not the be all and end all of life. Like they actually want a better quality of life. They want more freedom. They want to travel. They want to spend time with their loved ones. They want to work less so that they can focus on their health. Whatever it is, like there's real reasons why you chose to become an entrepreneur. And those are the metrics that we should actually be looking at, not the financial ones or not the outcomes. You know, like the outcomes can be whatever the outcomes are that we want them to be. So for me, the only thing that I really assess is, am I enjoying my life? Is it joyful? Is it easy? Does it flow? Do I feel like I'm in alignment? Those are the only metrics I actually care about now. Nothing else really matters. So if I see myself get caught up into comparing myself to other people or comparing, like, why am I not making as much money as I was before and all these things, I'm like, because I chose to prioritize the things that actually matter to me. That's why. And a lot of the time, the money does follow that because people do pick up on your energy and your passion, and they see that you're genuinely thriving and they want to be around you and they want to learn from you, and then you can sell stuff to them and you can help them. So it's kind of flipping everything on its head and realizing that the best way that you can serve people is to be your most thriving, authentic self, and then let them come to you when they're ready, as opposed to trying to convince them that you are when you're not.
Right. That's so funny because I do talk about this to a lot of people, and how, at least my philosophy with life and my work, it's like, okay, Mia, as long as you, I say, choose the light. It's like, as long as you choose the light for yourself and you keep following the light and you keep doing what feels good and is aligned, the people who come to you, like whether it's clients, viewers, friends, relationships, they have already chose the light for themselves, and that's why they're in your world, and you just help to guide them, you know? You don't want to force someone who's not ready, because that's not your job. Like, your job is to welcome the people who have already chosen for themselves and they need that guidance. So I think that's so powerful. Like, living in your truth, because you can tell when someone is trying to sell you something or is trying to put on a certain facade, but it's not genuine, right? So I think that's definitely like the most important thing, especially if you are helping people in your career.
And you can also tell when somebody has a business that they don't actually like very much, because everything feels like a struggle. And you wouldn't be surprised if next week they had a totally different business. You can tell, you can really tell. And that's why people don't want to work with them, because they can sense that they're out of alignment. It's like the words make sense, but the energy doesn't match the words. So there's a distrust there. And I have intuition about that all the time. I'm like, yeah, this person's going to be doing a totally different thing a year from now. And then sure enough, they do. Same thing with relationships, same thing with, like health. Like, people say that they're doing something, but they're actually not aligned with it. And then after a period of struggling with it, they just go do what they actually want to do. Or, there's this disconnect. So yeah, people can tell. It's much harder if you try to force yourself when you're not ready, or try to force other people when they're not ready.
Right. Speaking of intuition, you like to say that highly intuitive people already know what is best for them and how they want to proceed. So how do you help them trust that inner knowing?
Yeah, so I actually am hosting a whole event on this in September 2025, depending on when people are listening. But I think when you grow up in an environment where you did not trust your own thoughts or feelings or expressions, because you were being gaslighted a lot, or because you had people constantly disagreeing with you with different values, and you're just butting heads all the time, or when you go into career paths or roles where your p opinions are not being valued, or your way of doing things is not being valued, then you start to suppress what you actually think, what you actually feel, what you actually want, and you tell yourself that you don't really know. And when you do that over and over and over again over decades, you forget who you are, you forget what you care about, and you don't even know how to vocalize these things because you don't know what they are. And so I think what I like to help people do is to really get in touch with who they are, what they value, what they care about, and how they ideally would be living their life if they weren't influenced by what everybody else was thinking and doing. Just to even get clarity on that and paint this picture of what it would look like, what it would feel like, before we then think about, okay, how can we get towards that? Because the implementation is a whole other thing, but most people can't even do that first step of knowing what they want. It's not their fault. It's just that they've suppressed it for so long that they can't hear that voice anymore, like that little voice that's telling them what is best for them. They just don't hear it. So I think the work that I do with people helps that voice get louder and stronger, to the point where they don't need validation from other people. They don't need it from me even. They don't need anyone to care about what they're doing, or know what they're doing, or approve of what they're doing, because they know themselves. And I just think it's the most valuable thing that anybody can work on.
Right. I've realized that that is honestly one of the biggest issues. I don't know if you can relate, that people don't know what they actually want. And then it's almost like you can't really move on until you figure that out, because then you need to plan around that. I had posted a story the other day, because I'm coming out with my coaching and whatnot, of asking people their biggest struggles, and almost half of them said, like, I feel unfulfilled. Like, I don't know what I want. I don't know what my purpose is. And I was like, okay,
Yeah.
this, I realize at least for my viewers, like, this is what we need to focus on first and then go from there. And a lot of times, like, for example, you think this is something that I have done since I was a kid that my mom had taught me is like, it's called the why method, right? You just keep asking why till you get to the root. And so it's like, you
Yeah.
want the promotion, and it's like, well, why don't I want the promotion? Well, I want to make more money, but why do I want to make more money? Well, because I want to buy this house that I can have three rooms in. Well, why? Because I want my mom and my sister to move in. And why? Because that's been our dream forever. So it's like, so you don't really want the promotion. What you want is to live with your mom and your sister happily, et cetera, et cetera. So that's so important for people to really get to like the root of what it is that they truly want. Because from there,
Yeah.
the whole world is yours, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to be building something on a weak foundation or to be building something that you don't even want. Like, no wonder you're not motivated to do anything because you don't know why you're doing it. That has to carry you through all the ups and downs and all the uncertainties of entrepreneurship. And so that has to come first. And again, this is not something that people can easily do on their own, which is why you need a coach or someone to guide you because you've never thought about this stuff before and you need someone to challenge you. And I'm constantly doing that with my students too. I'm like, yeah, but why does this matter? And why does that matter? And why do you care about that? Like, what, where does that come from? Like, you need to go much, much deeper in your understanding of yourself in order to then be able to sustain any of the hurdles that you have to jump over. And
Right.
to disregard all the ones that don't apply to you, which is like 99% of them.
Yeah. So let's say someone's listening now and they're like, oh shoot, like I'm the person that these two women are describing right now. How does someone start reconnecting with their purpose when they've been disconnected or stuck in survival mode?
Yeah, I mean, I think a great way to start, and I remember doing this back in 2016, 2017, like right at the beginning of this whole journey for me, is to just do as many of these like online personality tests as you can find, like so many free ones, and you can pay to get the full length reports and everything. I did that, and honestly, I had so many light bulbs go off and so many aha moments, and I could trace everything back to why I made the decisions that I made, the real reasons why, not the reasons I had been telling myself. And of course, you can disregard all the stuff that doesn't feel like a true reflection of who you actually are. It's not putting you in a box or anything like that. But it can give you the words to use to actually describe yourself to a potential client or to a potential partner or friend or whatever. It does give you a framework to think about yourself with, and then you can build off of that. So you're not starting from nothing. You're starting from like a real framework. So I found that to be the most helpful starting point. And then, of course, when you introduce coaching, it personalizes everything to a whole other level. You can work with different types of people for different things. So I must have had like 15, 20 different coaches in the past 10 years because they all have different strengths and I needed them at different times in my life for different reasons. And a couple of times I've gone back to the same people, but generally you sort of get what you need at that time from that person or that particular program, and then you move on. And there's a whole other kind of level that you're at that you're then looking for support with. So I think part of it is not being afraid to ask for help and guidance and explore these different options available to you. It doesn't have to be like a 1 year thing. A lot of people have more flexible, like even I have just one ad hoc session that you can book with me. If you really have no idea where to start with anything, we can just do one session. And then from that, you get clearer on what the next step is. So there's a lot of resources out there for free. And another good thing to do is to use ChatGPT or whatever AI tool you like and plug your reports or whatever you're getting from these personality tests, plug it in and then ask it questions like based on somebody who resonates with this, how could I change my career or how could I start a business or what type of business could I have? And again, just sort of start imagining what's possible for you and get support with that in whatever way you can. And then things will definitely get easier.
Right. And just having that the second brain and the second pair of eyes, it's so powerful. They can see things that you just can't. Even AI
Yeah.
will open your mind to things that you can't. So this is something that I know a lot of people deal with, me included, is either being paralyzed by fear or imposter syndrome or both. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to pivot careers, but they're paralyzed by fear or imposter syndrome?
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to the emotional safety thing that we were talking about. If you don't have emotional safety, then everything is going to be too terrifying and you're not going to be able to take any steps. And it also comes back to even knowing what you want and where you're heading. So I think if we really break it down, it starts with admitting that things are not okay the way they are. It starts with deciding that you're open to finding new ways out that you hadn't even thought of before, and looking for them and actively exploring different paths that you could take or different options that you could create for yourself. And then it's doing the inner work to create that sense of safety so that even when the world, like the external environment, feels unstable, you're stable in yourself so you can navigate that. And we sort of touched on this a little bit when we talked before about the digital nomadism, where you're you, regardless of where you are in the world. And that emotional safety comes with you wherever you are. And your business comes with you wherever you are, if it's a remote business. And so that's really the most important thing we can do, is that creating that emotional safety and letting go of all that baggage and all that stuff that we were hanging on to, emptying out the backpack. And allowing ourselves to explore and want the things that we want. Because a lot of the time we do know what we want, but we're afraid to admit that because then we're like, oh, what happens next? And again, this is where coaching is really helpful because they can help you identify what you want, what your purpose is, but they can also help you break things down into much more manageable steps so that you don't feel overwhelmed. And that's one of the things I've done is my main program used to be 3 months and now it's 12 months because I've just broken it down into such small steps that people look back after a year and they're like, I can't even believe how much I did. It blows my mind. I'm like, yeah, because I could see that vision for you and I could guide you along that path, but you didn't need to see it. You just needed to trust that this was good for you, and that if you did the work, you were gonna be happy, successful, fulfilled, whatever. And so I think part of it as well is letting our guard down and learning to trust just one or two people who really do understand us and see the potential that we have. Because there are a lot of coaches and people out there who really just want to make money and they just don't genuinely care about the results that people get. And if anything, it just gives them more work because then people have more problems to solve and that they create more of a codependency than they do actually empowering the person. So I think as well, you have to be very particular about who you let in. If you need to test the waters with them, if you need it to be a personal referral, whatever you need to do, be picky about who that is because there are a lot of people out there who don't genuinely help and they say that they do. And this is why coaching can have a bad rap as well.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
It's the, oh, I have so many thoughts about that, but having someone that tells you or that believes in you and that sees the vision is so much more powerful than I had ever thought. And this happened to me about like a couple weeks ago. I had been wanting to come out with a course for over a year, let's say. I was like, I know I have something to offer. I'm going to figure it out, whatever. And I have done courses about doing courses, but I was so paralyzed by the fear that I kept just like stuck in the planning phase, let's say. And also with the mix of imposter syndrome in there too. And I've had a lot of shifts along the way, which is why now things are moving. And as why I'm so interested in what you do, because I see myself in so much of it. But the other day I was on the phone with my mom, who she's a coach in her own way as well. And she had told me, she was like, when I get there, she's coming to see me in Madrid tomorrow. She was like, when I get there, we're going to work through whatever blocks it is that you have because you are going to be so big and you have so much to offer. And like, you're capping yourself right now. And I was like, just like hearing my own mother's voice of someone else besides myself being like, I see like what you can offer and I see how big you can be. it was just like a huge shift. I know she's gonna listen and she's gonna
Yeah.
text me after to this, but I kind of just undermined that power of someone else seeing what you see and someone else confirming your delulu, as they would say, right? Like your delusions as you think they are, but they're not delusional at all. And not everyone has a mom who's going to call them and tell them that out of nowhere. Sometimes you can go find a coach, a good coach who's going to believe in it with you and help you every step of the way. So it's so much more powerful than people think. And we don't have to do everything on our own at all.
I think I do work with a lot of people who had very dysfunctional families, and they never really had the parenting that they needed. And yeah, maybe some of them are able to get it later in life, but very rarely do your parents change much. They're pretty much the person that they are for the rest of their life. And so we get to a point where we just kind of give up on the fact that, okay, this is the relationship that it's ever gonna be, you know? Like, maybe I can invest some time or whatever, but I'm not gonna change them and they're not gonna change me. So this is what I'm working with. And in the majority of cases, your parent is not the best person to be coaching you. And you're very lucky if you are in that situation, because that is very rare.
Course.
And so even being able to trust someone else to bring them in, to know all your deepest, darkest secrets and really go there with them, that's hard. And I've definitely worked with people who have had their walls up for the first month or two working with me. And it's sort of, we're doing all the surface level stuff, but then I'm kind of like, isn't there something more going on here? Like, I'm asking them, like, did you get lied to a lot when you were growing up? Like, did you get betrayed? Like, were you told that your opinion doesn't matter? Like, I can sort of sense that I can tell what's in the backpack before we've even really looked in there, because I see all the signs and I've been through a lot of it myself. So I think the biggest thing that coaching does is it just gives you a new perspective on all the same stuff that you haven't really looked at yet. And when you can let someone in, you can fully trust them and they're doing it for the right reasons, it's a real game changer. It's an absolute game changer. And I've seen people just completely just blossom, just come out of their shell for the first time in their life. And they'll be in their 50s, 60s sometimes before that happens, because they've just been carrying this backpack and they've just never had anybody see the incredible stuff that I see. And it really makes a huge difference. And it did for me as well. It really did.
And I want people to get excited as to what can be waiting for them if they decide to change and take charge. So I want you to tell us, what does a freedom lifestyle, quote unquote, actually look like day to day for you? And how is it different from just working remotely?
Yeah, I love this question. And it's so important that we cover this. I want to preface this by saying, like, this is my dream life. This is my freedom lifestyle, and yours is going to look totally different. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't know if that sounds like great to me, it's great to me. It's so great to me. And it gets to be whatever you want it to be. So for me, I used to hate waking up at the crack of dawn to get to school, or like, I never felt like I had enough sleep. And I was like, my body does not align with like everybody else's sleep cycle or schedule or whatever. So the best thing about my life now is that I don't have to get up until I want to. Like, I very rarely have an alarm. I just wake up whenever I want. I go to bed whenever I want, and I don't have meetings before 11 a.m. That's just like, this is the one of the earliest meetings that I ever had, like what we're doing right now, and this was like 12 p.m. So I've created these windows where I do my meetings, and also I don't have more than like two or three meetings in a day, because I want to have creative time. I want to build things. I want to like think about things. I want to get lost in my ideas. And that's something that I really enjoy. I go for walks every day. I meet people whenever I want to. I travel whenever I want to. I only need my laptop to do my work, so that's really freeing. I do a lot of dance classes. I'm doing a big performance at the weekend, which I'm really excited about, and it doesn't impact my work at all. Like, I couldn't have been working in a hospital, which was my first career, and doing all this like sexy dance stuff. Like it just, they don't go together. But I have, feel like I get to have like whatever personas I want. What else? I swim every day, or well, not every day, but like at least three times a week, in the middle of the day. because that's when like there's hardly anyone there. I have like the hot tub to myself. There's like a sauna and steam room, all of that. Sometimes I do journaling in the hot tub. Sometimes I listen to a podcast. Like I feel like there's a lot of space and time for me to just create. And then I work with coaches whenever I want. Like if I feel like there's a new thing that I want to move towards, like I might hire someone to help with that. I might like I'll just buy books, resources, whatever I need to kind of develop myself. And I can take vacation whenever I want. Usually I do like to travel and just do my work whenever because I have so much flexibility. Like when I was in Europe and it was a heat wave, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do some work during the day because it's like 40 plus degrees Celsius out there.
No,
And
yeah.
then yeah, and then I'll go out in the evenings, I'll have dinner and I'll explore, and that was whatever I wanted it to be. So usually I like to enmesh my work and my life together and just be flexible. But sometimes I just want to take a whole week off or 2 weeks off, and I can do that because nobody's going to be chasing me for things.
Right.
So it just feels like it gets to be whatever I want it to be. And also I bring my cat with me everywhere. Like she flies all over the world with me, and it just feels like I'm home wherever she is. And my partner sometimes comes out with me as well because he works remotely. And I just feel like I have this little family now that I create, and that's all I want. And you know, a lot of people want to have kids, they want to do that whole family thing. That's just not for me. And I feel, yeah, just so grateful and so proud of myself for building this for myself.
I love that. I think this is like that's like my favorite part of this episode is listening to all that because people can now start to think of what it could look like for them. And all of those sentences combined, all I hear is like the little girl inside of you is just roaming free. She's here doing what she wants to do, what she's meant to do. And I love that. And everyone deserves that, right?
They do. I have someone I'm working with now who she was a nurse for decades, and she had to get up at 5 a.m. to start her shifts. And she had two kids that she raised by herself because her ex-husband just kind of disappeared. And she just said to me like a couple of weeks ago, she was like, I woke up at 8 a.m. and I had a coffee and I just sat outside and just like thought about my life. And I just casually, you know, went about my day, had my breakfast, talked to my husband, whatever. And then I did my work, and it was fucking amazing. She was like, I've never experienced this before in my entire life. Because even though she left nursing a while ago, she hadn't yet allowed herself to explore what this new life could even be like and feel like. But it was when we started getting rid of all the shame and all the baggage and all the, you know, all the stress and all the pressure and all of that. Like, we got rid of all of that. And then all of a sudden, she's like a new person. She's like, I'm gonna have a second coffee. I'm just gonna soak it all up. I'm gonna have a whole morning ritual to myself without my kids. And I'm, you know, and it's life-changing. These small things, like they can be completely life-changing. And then when she does do her work, it's incredible because she's doing it when she's feeling most motivated and most ready.
Amazing. I love that. And we're coming to time now, but lastly, if you could leave the listeners with one piece of advice and nothing we discussed would stay with them, only this one piece of advice, what would it be?
There's only one you, and your relationship with yourself is the most important relationship that you'll ever have, ever. It's the only thing that matters because it affects your entire experience of life, every decision you make, every experience you have, every situation that you're in. You're doing it with yourself. You're doing it with yourself. And if you can learn to love yourself, it sounds so cheesy, but we are so good at distracting ourselves with stuff and people and responsibilities and pressures that we create. Like, we're so good at distracting ourselves from how we actually feel and what we actually want. And the most valuable thing we can do is just clear all that stuff out and really listen to ourselves and really be there for ourselves. When you can do that, you can do anything.
Right. Amazing. Thank you so much. Let me ask you if there are people who want to know more about you, want to coach with you, or just find you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm very active on LinkedIn, so you can find me, Sophie Ash. I mean, there's a lot of people with my name, but I'm in Toronto. And my website is intuitivebiz.com. I have a conference coming up in September, and I have a couple of private programs that you can join if you're interested. But yeah, intuitivebiz.com, or email me at sophie@intuitivebiz.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who tuned in today. Thank you for listening again to the Creation of Her, whether you are new or you are a returning listener. I come out with episodes every single week, and we can definitely do a part two if you guys are interested in that. Leave any questions that you guys have. My DMs are also in the show notes or in the description box, so feel free to ask me any questions. And if you guys want to hear more from me or from us together, that's something that we'd definitely be open to. But yeah, thank you. And thank you, Sophie. You have left us with such amazing golden nuggets, and I'm so excited to see where you go and for all the people that you're going to help. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad we did this. It's amazing. You're amazing. Thank you so much.